Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Granddad Business with Aaron Caliber.
That's my dad.
Hello!
Underpants?
That is hilarious!
Shut your mouth, dude. Rate and review this podcast while my daddy will go into a deep depression.
Granddad Business with Aaron Caliber.
Yeah.
Boom. Welcome to Grown Dad Business. This is Aaron Kleiber. We're finishing up part two of two with my friend Brett Ernst. Sounds very German, even though he's super Italian. If you've never seen Brett Ernst live, you have to see him live. But yeah, we did an episode last week. He was in town. I was happy to hang out and talk with my friend. He's always good to, you know, talk to. And this second part, we really get into more of, like, why we chose comedy and what, like, you know, I never really want to get into, you know, all the, like, why did you do comedy kind of stuff. And but really, we talk a lot about how it affects us as people and kind of what it does for us and for other people. It's very interesting. And Brett talks about, you know, possibly slowing down a little bit, maybe moving out of Los Angeles, starting a family, because that's like the real grown dad business of things, especially when you're a comedian, and, you know, like Brett, who has been doing comedy for a long time and is ready to start a family, finally. That's what we need, is a little Ernst running around. But yeah, this is part two. If you want to check out part one, obviously, it's the week before this. It's the episode before this. Check out part one with Brett Ernst. We talk a lot about how Brett grew up. And really, there's so many stories to do about Brett growing up. And you're just going to have to see him live, because he does tons of those live. Tons of stories about, you know, growing up with his family. And we all have very awesome, hilarious, weird, sometimes dark family lives. And Brett has all that also. And some really hilarious stories. But yeah, part two, Brett Ernst. Before we start that, I want to give a shout out, as always, to one of my sponsors, and that's Ignite Hospitality Services. If you're an entertainer and you need to go somewhere and pay for a hotel, you need to hit up Adam at IgniteHospitalityServices.com. He will barter for you a hotel. Oh yeah, for social media trade. That doesn't even make any sense, but that's what you go to do, and you save money on hotels. Do that. Ignite Hospitality Services. You can Google them, Facebook, all that. You can find them very easily. And also, shout out to my producers, Epicast. If you're interested in doing a podcast, if you like this podcast, or if you like my other podcast, You Can't Handle the Truth, Movie Reviews with Sean Collier, also produced by Epicast. If you want to do a podcast, go check out Epicast.com. Wait, is it Epicast? Network.com/services. Not only do they produce podcasts, they do audio engineering in the studio, they do live engineering, they do video photography, event planning, and live events. They were huge supporters of comedy, which is why myself and Sean and I do those podcasts. They also have an amazing podcast, my friends, Dave Bracey and Ed Bailey. Congrats for winning the City Papers Pittsburgh's Best Podcast of the Year. Really awesome. Check out Drinking Partners. You got to check them out. Also produced by Epicast. So yeah, if you want to do a podcast, check out epicastnetwork.com/services. And shout out to Buzzy Nick and my dude Dom for working on this. But yeah, without further ado, my friend Brett Ernst, part two.
You hear those kids next door?
It's a blessing, right?
Huh? That's why I don't have.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick before
we get
out of here.
That's what we were getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
Is, you know, if I want to have kids,
yeah,
I got to move to a place where I can live like a human being on my salary.
Damn
on
right.
What I make a year.
Yeah.
It's not even a salary, what I earn.
Right, right.
I don't get a salary.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like we went through a personal thing of my wife and I. We have a 1-year-old that's our third. And it was like, all right, you know, I'm out LA enough where I started trying to discover, like, can we live here? Can we afford this? You know what I mean? And when you start looking at it, 3 kids, and I'm like, you know what? We're rich here. You know what I mean? Like, if we go there, we're poor. You know, 90% of my gigs are, you know, east of St. Louis. Like, why would I do this? You know what I mean? It just kind of made sense. Now, I started stand-up when I had, like, my first child was 6 months old when I started stand-up. So it was, yeah, it was stupid.
But see, you're also limited, too. Like, you couldn't leave.
Absolutely. Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
So, like, you know, I me being in L.A., like, I would love to stay. I'm in a very nice area right now. But, you know, I'm breaking even every year.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's hard to, you know, to be.
That's why we didn't move.
That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't you move a little bit outside of the city or something? Move a little.
Well, no, you miss one. I live outside. I live in in Ventura County,
right?
Agoura Hills area, and but you know, I'm like I said, I'm breaking even every year.
Right, right.
I can't stay. I would love to stay there.
Right.
You know,
think about maybe. So, do you think about starting a family soon?
Right. Like, yeah, that's 2 years, I think.
Maybe raise them in, like, what, Florida, Jersey?
Well, my wife's still in her 20s. No, I would probably raise them in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Where she's from.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how impressed I was with their upbringing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, it is. It's the Midwest is a very nice place to raise a family.
Sure.
You know, look, man, if I have to tap out, I have to tap out. But I think there's more important things in life. I don't want to, but, you know.
Yeah. See, to me, I've been doing stand-up 7 years, and to hear that, I'm just like, what? Why? What? Why would you? But I kind of get it.
Hey, what are you going to do? I mean, look, I love doing stuff. I'm never going to stop.
Right.
But, you know, we it's hard to fucking be a dad 35 weeks a year on the road.
Right. Where if you live somewhere, well, I experienced that too, where, you know, you could live somewhere that's, you know, 70% less of the cost of living.
Buddy.
You could work 20 weeks a year.
Buddy.
And be fine in Ohio.
For what? I live in a two-bedroom condo.
Yeah.
For what that condo's worth, I could live in a fucking 7-bedroom house in Ohio.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you're talking about because I know what my house is.
And still have $400,000 left over.
Yes. Dude, we were just in the process of maybe building a house, so we're still looking. And dude, like my house, you know, some of my friends, I have 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, you know, 2,000 square feet. And people are like, oh, that house is $1.2 million. Insane. Like, and I'm like, see, I'm fine. Like, I can't take that and take my family
But I'm saying, I don't even own it. Like,
yeah, right.
I'm still renting because, you know.
You got to get on that equity.
Yeah, I think the market's going to crash.
Put your
again.
Money towards something.
I think things are on a bubble again.
Well, as far as I understand is when, especially if presidents change, the banks get nervous, interest rates go up a little bit, especially when there's a party change. See, I've been doing all this housing research stuff. The banks get scared, so interest rates will jump up, stuff like that. This is real grown man talk right here.
Yeah.
This shit is.
It's fucking adult shit. Well, I mean, if I find something like, you know, I want to put 20% down so I don't
absolutely.
Have to do an 80-20-20 and
right.
just have one mortgage,
yeah.
you know? And yeah, I'm sure this is interesting talk.
You know, it's funny is people have responded. They like some of this real talk sometimes. They were like, I like when you guys were talking about getting your roof done.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
so you've only been doing it 7 years, man. You haven't really turned, you'll turn your next corner at 11.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I always try to gauge, too, that, like, I did, you know, I've been an actor and have done sketch and improv for 12 years, even before I did stand-up. So when people are like, oh, how have you done what you did? And I'm like, well, I kind of had a head start, just in a way where I wasn't nervous on stage. I knew how to write comedy.
Yeah, that's part of it is comfortability.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
but
if you're very comfortable, then it's easier to do
it. It takes a while to learn the business. You really, you know, you got to.
See, that's an interesting point that, you know, that a lot of comics don't. think about is learning the business.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys, I know we were talking about the art before, but learning the business, like, a buddy of mine had these, I've been, you know, sometimes people ask you to speak to their comedy classes.
Sure.
And the first thing I tell them is, you know, I can't tell you how to do stand up.
Right.
You know, it's like telling somebody how to fuck. It's like, look, you just put that in there.
Reps.
And then you figure it out. You got to figure out your own thing after
that. Put the microphone in your hand, put it to your mouth.
And that's it.
And get reps in.
Yeah, just keep doing it. And eventually you're going to figure out what's best for you.
People have gotten mad at me because they're like, hey, you have any advice? And I'm like, just get up.
That's it.
You just get up, get reps in. And they're
the advice you could give them is like, you know, on the business aspect. Yeah. Like, I don't think, I mean, now is even more than when I started, but there's so many people that are 3-4 year comics that, because the internet, they're putting their stuff out there. I met a guy that's been doing stand-up 2 years and put his album out. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
This is, first of all, I'm not using names.
Right.
I'm like, your material's a little, it's average at best.
Freshman material.
And on top of that, you're not going to be doing this same stuff in 4 years.
Yeah.
So you're literally doing, you know, freshman material.
Yep.
And you want to put it on an album.
Yeah.
And get it out to the public. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When even 2 or 3 of those premises that are original aren't fully worked out. And if you really nurture that premise in another 2-3 years, it'll be a great bit. But it ain't even a bit now.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen that over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I have a box of I did my first album, I think 4 years after I started. And that album now, I've been selling it for 2 years. I can't even, I like throw up a little bit handing it to someone. Like, I hate everything on it, you know what I mean? And I want to do a new one so bad, but I know how long things take to cook, you know what I mean? So I just keep waiting and waiting.
The other thing is, you know, you're going to miss opportunities. You put that shit out there early.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because you're going to, nobody wants to see it again.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing with stand-up. It's not like music. Like, I mean, certain people, there's certain bits, but, you know, if somebody sees you 2-3 times in a row, you're still doing the same material.
Sure.
People are like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, whenever you see a band you like, you hate when they're like, this is off our new album. They're like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to hear this shit.
Yeah.
Give me the old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where musicians got it easy.
Yeah, and some people...
they want to hear your old songs.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, that happens to you. You got those jokes where people start yelling them out to you, you know? What is it, Delonte, right?
Yeah, and the roller skating one is the one that people always ask me to do. But it's like, you know, I've been doing that joke 19 years.
Right, yeah.
But I retired. I don't retire them, but I've already, you know, I got to work on the new hour. I just shot this last hour.
Right.
And, you know, you want to get the new hour going.
When's that coming out?
We don't know yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're still...
Did you do it independently? Is it coming out? What's it coming out on?
We don't know that yet either.
Oh, yeah. Business.
We got the negotiations.
You hear that?
Going.
Business, people.
It's all business.
Yeah.
Well, now there's like, you know, that's the other beautiful thing. I think this is the best time to be an artist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you do in the politically correct environment today is a lot like the religious extremist environment that like Lenny Bruce went through.
That is a really interesting way to put it.
It is. It's the pendulum. It's the same shit. You know, it's people telling you what not to say because it offends them. That's all it is. It doesn't matter what the words are.
Right.
Or what the context
Who
is.
Who it is. Yeah.
That doesn't matter any of that.
Yeah.
It's the idea that people don't want you to say things because it offends them.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yes.
And it's usually a person that's not in the group that is telling you what you should be sensitive
that's
about.
That's true.
Okay. So this is nothing new to comedians. The politically correct environment is the same thing as the right wing bullshit. It's all the same thing.
Right, right, right.
You know, in that sense, yes, it does suck. And it's like, you know, like the comedian, there's those two comics in Canada, the more recent one that had to go in front of a human rights tribunal for a fucking joke about a handicapped person that's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And the Human Rights Tribunal was going to decide, one, if they're going to allow this person to perform comedy, and two, if he's going to pay, he had to end up paying a fine.
Yeah.
For a that's fascism. That's fucking progressive fascism.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm a real liberal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a real liberal. And on the flip side of that, in the 50s, Letty Bruce went to jail for using curse words.
I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
Think about that. There's no difference between the two.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a real liberal, I'm all for... I don't like echo chambers. I don't, you know? Anyways, I'm getting off thing.
Here's, no, that's fine.
Here's what makes it the best time to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Is one, obviously the internet's your best friend.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know? There is about 5 or 6 platforms that will pay you good money for your stand-up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you think about like back
outside
in the day,
of network television.
If you know anything about record labels or like if you see like that show like Vinyl or things like that, you see that there is like a few people that held the keys to the kingdom.
That's absolutely. It's there's like no more gatekeepers.
5 record labels, and that's it.
See, look, there's a history of this in America. People are pigs. Mm-hmm. Okay, people will make decisions on, but it always comes back to bite the industry in the ass.
Right.
You can't be one-sided. You can't charge $20 for a record album with one song on it.
Right.
You know, that's what used to go on back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, again, everything's a paradox. There's a lot of shit on the internet, but if you're good and you can, and people can find you, you can end up selling a shitload of tickets.
Oh, right. Like how infuriating do you think record labels are that used to hold on to Louis C.K. and he goes and sells his album for $5 on his website and they're like,
absolutely,
like that just, and you know, it's this sounds really like, but like art does kind of find a way. Like
always.
there's all these people that wanted to like lock it down and record labels and cable TV and things like that, and it just find a way out. It just,
well, the artists back then had no outlets.
Right.
There was none.
Right.
Painters, believe it or not, were a lot like comedians where nobody was watching painters on TV.
Yeah.
Nobody except for the guy with the hair. But I meant, you know what I mean? Like, like an artist was a word of mouth thing.
Sure.
And then they would have galleries and, but they had to figure out a way
that would suck
to be self-sufficient.
You know, artists would suck. A painter. But
I'm saying they have to figure it out.
Yeah.
They're forced to figure it out.
Right.
So, and again, there were like, you know, certain galleries that would feature certain artists that would guarantee them certain sales back then. And I don't know how it still works today, but like a guy like Banksy or, you know, that these street artists that but there was so the painters and those types of artists were so self-generating and so self-sufficient that, you know, if they didn't figure out a way, they didn't eat.
Right.
Where comedians, you know, in the 70s, 80s, especially in the 80s and early 90s, you know, you had TV, you get on The Tonight Show, you had Def Jam in the 90s that broke a lot of fucking talented. That's why there was such a resurgence of black comedy in the 90s. Right, was huge because of Def Jam.
Well, now every black comic I meet, their credit is Def Comedy Jam and every single one.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's kind of a joke with me and my friends. And I'm like, you'll meet somebody and they're like, oh, you know him from Def Comedy Jam. I'm like, no, you weren't. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
like,
they all say
it's almost like everybody. Yeah. BET Comic View. I'm like, no. Like a dude will show up and
never
open,
on
like,
it
for the first time. He's like, yeah, you seen him on BET Comic View. I'm like, what?
No.
I was like, they must have had 8,000 episodes, like with every comedian I've ever met that had those credits.
Well, in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, the Rodney Dangerfield specials, you know, blew up Dice Clay and Sam Kinison. And so, like, you know.
Yeah, do you think those comedy specials must have had a lot to do with it, too? Those HBO specials.
What I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I'm saying you only had like a few outlets for that.
Right.
But if you got on that, you were gold.
Oh, man.
You were fucking gold. Now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could do 20 tonight shows. It wouldn't matter.
Isn't that crazy?
But I guarantee if you get on, say, Rogan's podcast, that's probably worth more.
Yeah, Rogan and Maron right now. Yeah. That's what people want.
People are like,
fuck Jimmy Fallon, who cares? Well, and it is crazy because like I am at a point now where like I want a Conan and Fallon. That's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
You know? But like, you know, I'll do shows with people. And you're like, who's that? And they're like, oh, from The Tonight Show. And I'm like, wow, well, damn. I've never even heard of him.
Grasp this concept, man. You want to do, why do you want to do, I mean, I would, don't get me wrong, I'm not turning them down, but you want to get on those shows because it's a nice credit and it's exposure.
Sure, yeah.
So then ask yourself, what's it exposure for? Well, it may get people to buy you tickets, but that's what exposure's for.
Right, right.
It's not.
Oh, I can give you the real answer.
What?
I mean, really, I don't like, it's not breaking any wall or anything, but the real answer is for you to get booked at more clubs, they want to see a logo on a poster. But, I mean, honestly,
but
dude,
even that doesn't matter. Listen to what I'm saying, because you're 7 years in, so you got to take this in.
This is why
I got to tell you. People want to do this. It's more vanity. It's more, I was on it.
Right.
But the whole purpose of it in the business aspect is so you can get your recognition and notoriety so people will buy tickets to see your show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of being on TV.
Right.
All right. The more you're on TV, you're hoping it would equate to the more, but it doesn't work that way anymore.
No.
Okay. You're getting people on Vine.
Right.
That are selling out shows.
At noon.
Right.
On a Sunday.
And fucking, it's insane.
Yeah. 13 and up.
And have no, don't do anything.
No.
Come out in an outfit, dance and sing on stage and run off in like 15 minutes and that's
Wait,
it.
No, I've seen that one. That's a real thing. Are you making that up? Or are you talking about someone?
I'm saying it's.
Oh no, there's somebody that does that.
That's what like a lot of YouTube and Vine people.
They
do.
They put on a costume. They're out there for 20 minutes,
and then they leave.
They walk away
sell
with
out.
20 grand.
Yeah,
easy. It's insane.
Easy, but now you got to say how long will that last? But that's not the point. The point is you got to embrace what the way things are now.
Right, right.
And the way things are now, I mean, again, it's an honor to do Fallon. It would be an honor to be on Conan. It's great. It would love to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting on there repeatedly will up your ticket sales.
Absolutely.
But that's the whole purpose of getting on.
Right.
It's just to sell tickets.
Yeah, right. Oh, absolutely.
And back in the day, it used to be somebody might see you and go, I'm going to make you a star. Right. It doesn't work that way anymore like that either.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
This is why it's the best time to be a comedian.
Sure.
Is because you can self-generate. Mm-hmm. You can produce your own specials. And even if nobody buys it, you could put it online mm-hmm. for free.
Yeah, yeah.
And take the loss, but then eventually,
yeah,
you can. It'll go viral.
Yeah,
or you know, you can get people to watch it, and people will buy you tickets.
Right, right.
That's the beautiful thing about being a live performer.
Right, right.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's why it's the best time to be a comic, man. I mean, I really do believe that.
Do you think it's oversaturated, though? Do you think like everybody?
Yes, but I still think that.
Are we in the heavy tiger beat of music right now with the Vine and stars? And
yes and no. I think it's saturated, but here's why we're not. The mouthpieces of our industry, of our business, where people find out about comedians are usually on podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's nobody's reading a stand-up comedy trade.
Right.
That's why the Comedy Store is sold out every night now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'll hear Rogan talk about it,
yep.
Bill Burr talk about it. And people hear it so much on podcasts. And then Gerard shot a special there. Louis shot a special there. Mm-hmm. Ari shot a special there. Mm-hmm. So it's the word of mouth in our community. That's why I don't think it's that oversaturated. Because our gatekeepers are literally the people that are performing.
Sure.
Like Rogan. If you're listening to Rogan, Rogan's going to say, oh, fucking Sam Tripoli is a brilliant comedian.
Yep.
He'll talk about comedy. And then you'll hear Tripoli being brought up right now or on somebody else's podcast or you follow me?
Yep.
And the comics are, you know, the inmates really do control the asylum.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And so, there's so many outlets, but people that listen to comedy podcasts, they always end up hearing the same names and, you know,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one thing that is good about our business,
really great point.
It's a meritocracy too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the industry doesn't recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, the industry is trying to push a type or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Or.
Hey, I'm a 35-year-old white dad sitting over here. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
but if it was based on how funny people were, there'd be some people that are on top that would be gone.
Yeah, right.
And then there's some people on the bottom that would be on top.
But right.
I think everything comes out in the wash eventually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everything sifts through.
You got to ask yourself as an artist, what do you want to be? Do you want to be Zeppelin or do you want to be Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, right.
Backstreet Boys made a lot of money in a short period of time.
Yeah.
But
now
doesn't have a body of work other than a Remember This song.
Yeah, and now they're half of them are on Celebrity Apprentice. You know, like I get it.
But I'm saying like their catalog of music.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's more of a, oh, Remember This song. It's not like, you know, you're going to put Kashmir on at any age and be like, wow, it's a good song. So, you know, I like that's what you got to ask yourself. You want to have a body of work. And if you want to have a body of work as an artist, you got to put the time in.
Sure.
And if you got to put the time in, it takes fucking forever, but it will happen.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's a good body of work.
For sure.
You will get recognized. It takes way longer for some people than other. You know what I mean? But it will happen. Although, I do like, what's that Backstreet song? Backstreet Boys song.
Everybody? The one where they're in the haunted house. You like the haunted house one? That's your favorite?
No, what's the ones in the...
Or the spacesuits?
No, the ones that they're
the puppets. Marionettes.
Yeah, what was that
the
one?
Puppets. That's...
Kids on the Block song I like. Please Don't Go Girl, I used to like.
Oh, Please Don't Go Girl. Yeah, oh, that's good.
Joey McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
He was killing it.
Oh, my wife right now is listening to the podcast. She's like, the Marionette song. She's screaming the name of it. I don't remember it. No Strings Attached. That was their album. That was the album.
Well, was that Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
That was NSYNC. Was that who did the Marionettes? That was NSYNC.
Well, we gotta look that up.
Oh my God!
But again, that's what I mean. You gotta ask yourself what you know as an artist, what you want. I mean, and then you want to make money.
Yeah,
this business. I was telling my father-in-law last night. You know, he's just shaking his head. He's like, I don't know how the fuck you guys do it.
You
gotta
right.
be insane, man.
People that are in successful business, like our normal business, they're like, how do you do this? It's insane.
I mean, how do you?
There's no business model. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like creating something out of nothing and then trying to figure out a way to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and
I took a risk, man. I took a risk. I took all the money I have and I put it in my own special.
I told my wife and 6-month-old baby, I was like, I'm going to do stand up I'm going to do entertainment for a living. And I'm making a living. Yeah, it's crazy.
They always say like for the entrepreneurs, it's like jumping off a cliff and then trying to build a plane on the way down.
Hell yeah.
So you can fly, save yourself.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change a single moment.
It is wacky, man. Like if you ask me, if before I got into comedy, first of all, if you ask me would I do it all over again, no. I'm like, I would, but I wouldn't want to have to go through all that shit again.
I think I'd do a couple things a little bit different.
I look back on it fondly.
Yeah, sure.
But it's exhausting to think of everything I've done in almost 20 years.
Right.
You know, like all the shit gigs, all the fucking starving, all the worrying.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still there. You know, I'm still worrying.
But, you know, like we have friends that kind of give us hope that like you keep hustling, it'll happen. Like you mentioned Sebastian. I'll leave us with this. Like, dude, Sebastian was my first feature weekend ever. And I remember it was 6-7 years ago. And like 6-7 years ago, he had 10 people on a Thursday night. You know what I mean? And now he's like selling out theaters in People magazine. Yeah. It's crazy. Like 6-7 years later.
I remember Chelsea Handler. She used to always come to the store. And we were in La Jolla one time getting like not even 50 people. And she was selling her book after the show before, obviously, she got her show.
Sure.
But now that book that she was selling, you know, that she wrote, The Vertical Life or whatever it was called. Then literally, she was selling it at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's a fucking New York Times bestseller after she got the show. And that's, you know, then she did the second one. But, you know, you just see it, man. I remember fucking Burr, dude. Burr.
Ugh.
I remember watching him going, how the fuck isn't this guy?
Yeah. The most popular comedian on the planet.
Ever, this is one of the greatest comedians I've ever seen in my life.
I agree. And even like his show on Netflix, the cartoon.
Yeah, F is for Family.
Yeah, I'm like, have you seen this? People are like, no. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I mean, look, I get if you don't like stand-up. I don't like stand-up. I don't watch it. Isn't that crazy?
I don't either.
I can't stand
it. I don't.
Like, I can't watch. I mean, I have to watch. Like, when I'm at the Comedy Store, like, I'll see people, like, before me, I'll watch it, and I laugh. Yeah. But, like, when people be like, hey, did you see the so-and-so's new special?
I can't do it.
I'm like, no.
I can't do it.
No, I don't even, I hate. I'm not a fan of, I can't watch it.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't either.
Because I don't know why. Maybe because I'm in it.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Even but like if I want to see it, I go back to the older
things
that got me in it. Like I can watch Rocky over and over again.
Yeah.
And I can watch Eddie Murphy's Delirious over and over again.
Sure, yeah. You know. All right, I'll let you take a nap. You're the best.
I'm shot.
You're the best kid. It was a strong interview.
I want to go to the haunted house, though.
Well,
we can't do it.
Not open during the day.
What time are they open to on Sunday?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Because we could do it.
God bless you.
Anyways, we'll talk afterwards.
Yeah, we don't have to make our plans right now.
Yeah, we don't.
So hold on. Let me get my appointment book out.
I'm going to go fall asleep. Why don't you keep texting your fucking...
You could leave my sister out of this.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.